WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It's a post-All-Star game celebration, and the Orioles are coming home here this weekend. Got this kid hitting 400 coming into town this weekend. Freddie Freeman, Mookie, the Dodgers around the corner. It's baseball pennant fever, and this guy, although he covers football around here, we're so 2 or 3 weeks away from that at this point. It was all-star game, all Adley's dad on Monday night. And then Tuesday night, of course, the Orioles very, very instrumental in the outcome of the Midsummer Classic in Seattle. Luke Jones joins us now. He is Baltimore Luke. I want to remind everybody we're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour all summer long. We're going to kick off the second half at Coco's on Thursday from 2 until 5. Got great guests at Coco's. We're looking forward to talking to Senator Corey McCray. Also have Dave Shinen from the Washington Post, two of my favorite people. Him and Mike Resigliano are going to be coming by. Marcella's going to have crab cakes and some locals in Lauraville. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'll be giving away some Maryland Lottery scratch-offs. I have a whole bunch of scratch-offs here. I'll be giving these away this week at Coco's, next Thursday at the Beaumont, then on August 3rd and August 4th. We will be back in Dundalk at Costas and Drug City celebrating 25 years. This guy's been here 15 of the 25 years, and we've watched All-Star games. I've covered All-Star games. I was down in Washington a couple years ago, up in New York a couple times recently. Dude, I don't know what to say without sounding like a jerk. I don't know what they can do to make it better other than just make it better. I stop with all the clowning and talking to pitchers when they're delivering pitches. And it baffles me, Luke. I don't know what else to say because I love the All-Star game. I hate this beer league pajamas. I mean, I just everything about it, PU, except the fact that they got really good baseball players in the game.
Yeah, I'll disagree with you about the mic'd up part. I think that's a fantastic innovation. It's getting to know players. We hear all the time. You know, I've heard it for a decade now. No one knows who Mike Trout is in Major League Baseball. And I get it. He's hurt right now, broken hamate bone. But I totally disagree with you on that point. The uniforms are horrible. It's awful. It's been 3 years now that they've gone to these American League, National League pajamas, as you described them appropriately. So I'm with you. I think one of the more disappointing aesthetics that's missed now, an aesthetic that I loved for so many years was when your team was in it, you'd see those Baltimore Oriole uniforms when they'd line up for introducing the reserves, introducing the starting lineup. You know, a great example, the Texas Rangers. They had, what, five starters in the American League starting lineup on Tuesday night? And you couldn't really tell just by looking at them, right? You had to really look closely to see who it was. And look, it's Nike. It's Major League Baseball selling uniforms. I did see a few younger people on Twitter actually say they like the uniforms. So it's a reminder that that's not for you. It's not even for me now as I'm nearing 40 years of age. But that's the part that does bug me, but I like the innovation of hearing from Eovaldi on the mound. Certainly wouldn't want to hear that in a game that actually matters, but hearing him actually go through his mindset a little bit, pitch to pitch, I thought that was kind of cool. So I'll disagree with you on that part. I love seeing players mic'd up.
I thought it was intrusive. That's all. I thought it was, as a viewer, it was a little like watching somebody go to the bathroom. To say it's a little private, and it's a little like you're playing. I don't know. It just cheapened it. It's an exhibition. And I guess I got to get my head through that.
Right.
The part that it's not even spring training, but after watching real baseball games for, 3 months and they stop for this and they're wearing their pajamas. It's taken on this carnival barking thing that I think is beneath the status of the game itself. And I'm not even a traditionalist in any way, right? Like, I mean, not in that way for sure, but looking at them out on the field in the whites and the grays, there's a reason they wear the whites and the grays. They're supposed to be beautiful. They're primary jerseys. You know, that's what makes you an all-star. And that goes back to probably my head of being up at the Eastwood Fields at Joseph Lee Fields when Gardenville would come over and Little Flower would come over and an all-star event would look like an all-star event. It had color. I'm a color guy, I just all of it. The broadcast was awful. The broadcasters were awful. Just The translators were awful from Japanese to Spanish. It just was awful. I mean, I put Major League Baseball Network on it. I don't know, 5:30. I watched 2.5 hours. I got carried away, and I was on the red carpet at like 20 minutes to eight. And I'm like, whoa, I got to change channels. I didn't even change channels, you know? So I watched all of the outfits. I'll tell you a thing that I like, and this will sound funny for me because I'm not a red carpet guy or any of that. What they've done, what they did in Pike Place in the afternoon, where all the guys get dressed up and they show their sense of fashion and they talk to people and they bring their wives and their kids, and that's kind of cool. I mean, dude, you're talking to a guy that's been to, 17, 18 All-Star games and probably 15 galas. I've been to the Home Run Derby, the workouts, when it was Futures game on Sunday, when it was celebrity softball with Meatloaf, and I have John Stewart and Ron Howard doing bumpers for me from Veterans Stadium because there was a celebrity softball game. Like all of these different machinations that they've had. I mean, I've seen all the things they tried to make the game count at one point, right? And make it an American League, National League game seven. Game one host. I mean, they've had gimmicks, they've had gadgets, they've had all of that. But there's something that sort of makes the 1971 All-Star game the 1971 All-Star game because they just went out and played. And the American League wanted to win, and the National League wanted to win, and they played baseball. And you can take pictures, you can dress them up, you can sell stuff, you can gala out, you can wear those pajamas during the Home Run Derby, do whatever you want to do. But don't screw up like the Tuesday night. Don't have me put it on looking forward to it and sitting here on the radio bitching about it the next day. And we haven't even mentioned Batista, the game, losing the game. Like, it doesn't, none of it matters. What matters is if you put the game on, do you stay with it 9 innings? Do you get to know some players? And I would agree with you, getting to know players is the issue. I just thought it was really weird having Eovaldi. I thought it was weird having a right fielder in the action on three different plays where he's trying to talk and talk to him before, talk to him after, let him play. I mean, I'm a guy
No,
in the dugout. I hate all of that.
I disagree with that. I'll hear you on the pitcher, okay? Because you are talking about someone who literally has the ball on every single play in that half inning. So I'll hear you on that. And look, I respect your opinion about it, but the innovation of hearing guys talking in the outfield, hearing a Mookie Betts, hearing Freddie Freeman when they asked him about Shohei Ohtani, and he so dryly said that would be tampering. That was great. It's an exhibition. You just said it. I think the root of a lot of what you're saying here, beyond the uniforms, the root of this really, Nestor, is we remember the All-Star games and what was a very different time for Major League Baseball. We are now 27 years, we're 26 years out from interleague play becoming a thing. At that point in time, there before interleague play, there was such a mystique of not just seeing, and I'll just use 93 in Baltimore as the example, of not just seeing Barry Bonds come to Camden Yards. It was, wow, there's a San Francisco Giant playing at Camden Yards, and you saw the Giants uniform. You saw LA Dodgers in Baltimore. You saw Philadelphia Phillies in Baltimore for the first time since 1983.
Tony Gwynn
Right.
played, when he had three at bats, whatever he had, that's all
Yeah.
he ever had at Camden Yards.
Right. So there was so much of that just, it was so unique. There was such a novelty to seeing AL versus NL that, I mean, my goodness, Nestor, at this point now, having gone to a more balanced schedule beginning this year, the Orioles are going to play every single team in baseball every single year now. They're going to play every National League team in Baltimore every other year now.
Like this
So,
Dodger thing next week's kind of sexy to me. I love the
yeah.
Dodgers. I love the mystique of the Dodgers. I don't root for the Dominion other than Janet Marie winning or
Sure.
whatever. But even seeing Freeman and Mookie, I watched the pregame show. They were great, right? They were, to your point, like I got to know them a little bit better, just all the way around. And I mean, Freeman's been in the league 13 years. I mean, he's Chipper Jones at this point, right? So I seeing those guys play next Wednesday in an afternoon game is something that you might see me down there. Like I've been targeting that one. I don't want to go down if it's 103 degrees because I'm not that way. But
Yeah.
like if it's the right day and the right company, I asked Dennis is away next week. I was going to go with Dennis. Leonard's back from vacation. He's in Alaska. Like I would go to see the Dodgers uniforms. I used to drive to Philadelphia to see Fernando Valenzuela and Oral Hershiser pitch and to see Eddie Murray play when he went there. Like, it's how Rasig gave me my Nasty Nestor name, was a Dodgers Phillies game. But the only way to see the Dodgers uniform was to drive to Philly and see it on the carpet with the Fanatic and Pete Rose or whoever, Steve Carlton, whoever was there. I would agree with you. Like, it. They've watered it down to the point where, like, we used to think, well, what was if it was more like the NBA or the NHL, where Gretzky comes in every year and you get one chance or one chance at Kareem and Magic if they come into the Capitol Center. The Nationals are 38 miles away. All these teams have been coming in for 18 years. If you want to see any of them, the Phillies are right up there, and they come here now. So I would agree with you that Mystique and what they've tried to build, they broke a long time ago. And now they're just trying to, like, have an exhibition where, I don't mean to be crass, but they just sell stuff. I don't, I you know, like, that's it. They gather everybody and they make money and they doff their caps but at least make the game good. That's all that like, if I'm gonna put the game on, make the game good, make the broadcast good. I just didn't think it was very good. And I'm not a guy. I'm a guy that said the mask and stuff has gotten better some days. But when it's bad, it's bad. I mean, Palmer's great right now. Palmer and McDonald right now, whenever they're on, they're wacky, they're weird. Palmer's cranky. Palmer is like, it's he's unleashed. So, like, watching every night, it's a little Charles Barkley. It's a little, you never know what he's. Reason people listen to this show, they don't know what I'm going to say next, right? So there's a little bit of that. I just thought the game, it just was all canned and bad. And I thought, if they're getting into a boardroom today, all right, and I'm being honest with you, if they care, if Rob Manfred makes a lot of money, if they care, they'll do what any event does. They'll have a review, and they'll get together in New York, say what went good, what went bad, what went right, what went wrong. And I'll tell you what, if they think this is good, I don't know what to say. And we might get the game soon, right? I mean, this might be part of John. John's going to get federal funds now, and he's got lobbyists lobbying the federal government. A guy that's never built a lemonade stand, we're going to turn the city over to and make him a visionary now. But part of that vision would be the game could be here 3 years from now easily. I mean, it's time. And if there's a new owner, old owner, additions to the stadium, we get Camdenville built. We're going to get the game again, and we're going to get it. I mean, we're going to get it. Hopefully I'll be alive and you'll still be less than 50, but we're going to get the game.
I think there's no question about that. I still think so much of what you just talked about still comes back to the aesthetic of the uniforms on Twitter and just looking around on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Threads. I saw more mention of complaining about the uniforms than anything else. I think everything else you mentioned, it's an exhibition. Look, everything you could say about what we saw on Tuesday night, and even in the Derby on Monday night, which, by the way, those uniforms, those hats that they wore for the Home Run Derby night, way better. It was an all-star hat. It had a little star next to the cartoon bird, but it was an acceptable look, right? It still looked like an Orioles cap, whereas what we saw on Tuesday night made all the teams look generic that you had to look closely to even see who it was if you were just getting the center field camera angle. But everything you mentioned as far as the exhibition, the sideshow, the hoopla, all that is the same thing you'd say about the NBA All-Star game, the same thing you'd say about the
Which I don't
NHL, same
watch
thing you'd say.
anymore. Which I
I
don't
mean,
watch
certainly.
anymore. Right? Like, I don't watch either one of them anymore at all.
So, and that's part of it. And again, baseball, the mystique that they once had pre-1997. And of course, that mystique lingered for a time. We all remember back to this time it counts, and they did home field advantage for the World Series, which I didn't like, mind you. I
Well,
didn't.
we talk about the
You want to talk
99
about something?
All-Star game as being something. I was there for that game, legendary. The Milwaukee game, I was there for that mess when they couldn't figure out the ending. I mean, they've had a little legacy, and I don't even just mean Ray Fosse or the Parker throw, but like in the modern era, since they've done all of this to mishmash it, they've had moments. The 99 All-Star game is still the one everybody talks about. I mean, half the guys on the team talked about it as a kid seeing Pedro, right? Like, do you have that moment? The only way you have that moment is to make the game not a joke. Pedro wasn't talking to Joe Buck when he's out there trying to strike guys out. Like, I just, That's fundamental to me. I mean, it's fundamental. I mean, it's fundamental. You know what's something I want to bitch about to you? Because I bitched last week to Rosenfeld about it and he didn't see it. And you didn't see it either. You're in Wildwood and you can't get Masson on your friggin' app. You watch the games sometimes. Only half the time do you watch the game on TV. Kind of reminds me, people ask me if I saw the broadcast on the Ravens. I was at every game for 27 years. I never, ever watched the television. But have you seen the John Means spitting seafood? What am I saying? Sunflower seed spitting incidents in the dugout. Have you seen that trick?
Yeah, I've seen
Yeah.
that.
I'm so annoyed by that because, like, John Means is on with Jim Palmer for
You
an
need to
inning.
lighten up. You got to lighten up, man. I mean,
Dude,
it's fun. I mean, like,
I
these
just,
guys
I,
play 100.
yeah, but the game's going on. And you got five guys spitting sunflower seeds in the corner of the dugout. Buttermaker wouldn't have, my dad wouldn't have that at the Eastwood Little League. So, like, interview the player and do it professionally and have the play. This is the only time I get 3 minutes, 8 minutes, 12 minutes if it's a double inning and he stays and he's on the DL or the IL, sorry. I don't know. I just these moments where we get to know the players a little bit because I don't have a press pass anymore. I take it kind of seriously and I kind of like to hear what they have to say. And not with pies in their face, not with Melanie Newman asking, how did it feel after the game? Like, I'm talking about like if they're going to mic guys in the dugout during the game, don't turn it into a charade. I mean, that if you're going to go through all this trouble to mic these guys up, put something on the broadcast that's of quality. That's all. I'm here. I'm the audience. Make it good. Just make it. I gave you 5 hours of my night Tuesday night. Just make it good. That's all.
Right.
And that's where
Okay.
I am with the broadcast part of not going to games. If your whole goal is to get me to buy a hat, buy tickets, hang out, go spend $17 on the beer, get an autograph, hero worship these guys, like all of that that makes the broadcast, just make it good for a baseball fan. Make it good. That's all. And I don't want
Okay.
to be cranky about it because I want to
I
get
think
back to the
miking up players
ballpark.
is good. I think
In the
miking up players is
dugout,
good. I mean, I
maybe
just.
in left field, in the middle of the game, I just I'm I don't we don't get anything of quality out of that for me. The Eovaldi thing, like him talking through his pitches, he clearly put as much thought into the broadcast because he only knew he was going to be out there three, four, five batters, however long it is. He didn't want to embarrass himself. And I keep
Right.
thinking to myself, what if they mic'd him and he's Atlee Hammaker?
Sure. Oh, that's, but that would be kind of what makes it fun, though, right? I mean, if that happens, I don't know. I think you're, I respect your opinion, but on that,
I
I
just didn't
couldn't
enjoy it, and I
disagree with you
wanted
more
to.
on
I just
miking up
kept sitting
players. I mean,
there, and
they've done. I don't. I mean, I don't. I don't know. I mean, it's a baseball game. It's an exhibition. I saw some amazing defensive plays in the game. I saw Yennier Cano pitch a really impressive inning despite defense not helping him out and him having to basically get four outs, if not five, if you want to kind of look at that inning. I saw Felix Bautista have a rough time. He was nervous. I mean, it was still baseball. I mean, look, the uniforms are the one thing I will say I 1000% agree with you on. And I could have done without having to hear from David Ortiz and the studio guys during
oof.
the game. That's I agree. Too much of that. But if I'm going to hear from other people, like I said, let me hear from a player. Let me hear from. It was cool hearing Freddie Freeman talk to Randy Arozarena at first base and say, "Dude, you just took away an out. Now you're getting a hit." I like that. Now, I don't want to see that in the regular season. I sure as heck don't want to see that in the postseason. But for that environment, I'm cool with it. And I still think so much of this, the perception comes back to the pajama uniforms because they've actually mic'd players up for 6 or 7 years now. And I don't remember you being nearly this critical about the All-Star game over the last 5, 6, 7 years. And that's not to say that it's been great every year, but we've had some cool things. We Ohtani, pitching and hitting and some the game that I covered in 2017, seeing all the International League players and all the flags pregame and all of that. What was it? I think it was it Nelson Cruz took a selfie with the umpire at home plate back in 2017. These are harmless things, and I again, I get it. We all want to think back to all the classic moments. We're just not going to get that mystique anymore. We'll get a we can get a moment in time. You can. I mean, the fact that we saw the hometown kid have a chance to hit a walk-off in the bottom of the ninth inning, Julio Rodriguez, it didn't work out and he'd walk. But beyond that, yeah, it is going to be a bit of a sideshow and an exhibition. And there's going to be so many different bells and whistles. And anyone that's in Major League Baseball or Nike are telling you, well, we had a bunch of 18 and 19 and 22-year-olds say how much they like the All-Star jersey and they're going to go buy it on our websites. So it comes back to what we always talk about with the streaming, and all the issues with RSNs and making the game faster. And we've seen that happen this year successfully with the pitch clock and what have you. But this all goes back to trying to cast as wide a net as possible. Baseball says, even if you're not watching All-Star games as regularly, as closely as you used to, they've said, we have you already. We've had you for decades. The NFL says the same thing with all the changes they make year after year after year, that and they're trying to attract different people and they're trying to do different things. And look, some of those things have been good, and I agree with you. Some of those things are awful. Again, those uniforms are terrible. And it angers me. I wanted to see four Orioles uniforms, not four Orioles uniforms looking like Seattle Mariners alternate jerseys. But again, if they're going to have more teenagers and more 20-somethings go buy All-Star jerseys that way, baseball will tell you it was worth it. Even if I think there should be some element of keeping certain things sacred. And that even goes back to your point, even though I disagree with that one specifically of miking up players during a game. They're trying to do different things to garner some attention and create some more buzz.
Well, and the other thing about miking players up is only half of them speak English, so like on the broadcast here, it'd be different if you're miking up a Latin player for a Latin broadcast, right? Out in left field or whatever, and they're gonna speak Spanish. But it in here, it's got to be English. So there's only certain guys that you can mic up. So that start with that. I would say this on and this is just on my own behalf, being a Baltimore guy and whatever. We're gonna get the game here again, and I kept thinking about that. Like when I'm watching it, it's the 30th anniversary. By the way, today's the 30th anniversary of when I met Geddie Lee in the buffet at the All-Star Gala before he sang "O Canada," which was the greatest version of "O Canada" ever, by the way. But I go back to 30 years ago when this happened here, and I know you said you didn't come down to Fan Fest and stuff, and I wanted to even tell you some of my fun stories because in 1993 I went to the Fan Fest with Mark Messina. And there were batting cages where it was the first time I'd ever seen anything like this. They had a video where Greg Maddux would come out of the hole, or Randy Johnson would come out of the hole, or Mike Mussina, maybe it was Clemens. They had five or six pitchers that were firing down on you if you got in the cage at FanFest. And, of course, I picked Messina and got a single off him. So I had to tell him in the locker room, he said, what was I throwing, 65? So I think about the FanFest, and I spent a lot of money at the FanFest. I bought an Indians warm-up because I love the movie Major League. I bought a Phillies warm-up because they had just rolled out their old 50s P and had gotten rid of sort of the bubble P. I bought an Orioles warm-up. I mean, I bought a bunch of stuff. I remember the card show. I had, by the way, free plug for Robbie's first base. I had Robbie Jr. on this week. The Babe Ruth Museum on Saturday has the card show. So I brought out my, Heartland statue for Robbie, and he'll be down there. Danny Black, a bunch of folks are down at the Babe Ruth Museum this weekend. Go down Saturday, support them if you love cards, if you love collectibles. But the Fan Fest had a collectible show. It had legends, it had, autographs, all of that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, our city's broken, right? Hence Baltimore Positive. Our ownership's been broken for so long. I mean, Angelos's lawsuit is now 17, 18 years into this. That's really been at the core. People go on the internet and they're just, I mean, to your point, everybody has a toe in the water about what they know about the Orioles or whatever. And they're like, why haven't we had the All-Star game? And I'm like, clearly don't listen to this program, right? And we've been talking about uniforms here, about getting Baltimore on the road jerseys. When I'm doing the 25 greatest moments in WNST history. Us fighting for Baltimore on the road jerseys is in the top five. It was a campaign here long before Free the Birds. It was a campaign here to get Baltimore back on the road jerseys. So To act like uniforms matter or don't, they matter a lot. I remember every one I've ever bought. They matter to me when I bought a Dan Pastorini jersey on the internet on eBay 10 weeks ago. They market this stuff in front of us. You're wearing an old school Baltimore hat. There's a movie, by the way, coming out. The League is out this week, all about the history of the Negro baseball leagues. I had a great, great guest. I had Byron Motley on this week talking about that film. So go check that out. It screened over the weekend. It's a real baseball time right now, and we're in a pennant race right now. But Luke, to digress, we're going to get an all-star game here at some point. Again, hopefully, knock on wood. It's been 30 years today since we've had it. So it's our turn. And we were mentioned, right? It's Toronto, Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta's going to get the first one because, like, they're Atlanta and they have their ish together. We do not have our ish together here. I mean, not from an ownership. Lord knows what Major League Baseball thinks of John Angelos and whether they're really going to allow him. I mean, he thinks he's keeping the team. He thinks he's getting federal money. He thinks he's going to build a little Atlanta. I don't know where the hell it's going to go. Were they going to take the depository away? I mean, just move that out. Like, I don't know where he's going to build his castle that's already been here for 30 years that they've screwed up. But at some point, we're going to get an all-star game. And to your point, do you want him wearing orange and black pajamas in the game? What is the city going to look like? What is the gala going to look like in front of the Pendry or in front of the New Harbor when it's finished, or in front of whatever and whatever Camdenville they're going to build? Because the one thing I noticed about watching the game on Tuesday, and again, I was at the last Seattle All-Star game 22 years ago. I was there with Sporting News Radio. I shared those pictures out on social. And all I saw was Seattle, Luke. And I went to the gala in Seattle 21 years ago. And I guess you were a kid, right? You were in college or whatever at the time. And what I remember about that Seattle All-Star game, not just broadcasting out, it was really hot. I was with Ken Rosenthal. We were melting all the pictures you can, and all the Hall of Famers and Tony Gwynn and like all the work I did. And I still think I have the tapes of all of that and could run it. But you know what I remember the most at the gala? The gala was at this airport hangar on the other end of Seattle, not where the stadiums are, up the way. And I remember Ichiro looking like a movie star. Ichiro was such a rock star. He had just arrived on the scene. He had his hair was perfect. His suit was perfect. His sunglasses were perfect. Everything was perfect. And every time they showed the sky shot from Seattle, I thought to myself, they've really showed Seattle off. And the Pike Place Market. And look, I don't need any more Big Poppy with the hose, with the gambling. I like him. He was always good to me. He was great to my wife. But as a broadcaster, he's awful. A-Rod, okay, whatever. I don't like the broadcasts. And maybe I miss Joe
Fair
Buck.
enough.
I miss Chris Berman. I miss something that is good to me. I like Smoltz. I like Smoltz a lot. There's not enough Smoltz when it's a circus, and it was a circus today. But they put the city on display, Luke. Seattle was on display. Seattle things were on display. Coffee was on display. The stadia, like all of that. I want that for us. So
Yeah.
amidst all of this bitching for 30 minutes about how bad it was, and I thought it was awful. I mean, and I reserve the right to say something's awful when it's friggin' awful, because there's plenty of things in life that are great. But and all the money they spend and all the pomp and circumstance around an all-star game, I'm glad I didn't fly 3,000 miles because it felt somnolent. It was really quiet during the game. Third inning, I text my wife and I text you. I'm like, this kind of sucks. I've been waiting all day for this, and it sucks. And so I've been waiting 30 years for the all-star game to come back to Baltimore. And I don't know whether John's going to be the captain of this. And maybe 5 years from now, we're feeding him and he's fixed the franchise. We've had three parades and guys are signed and the franchise is healed and we've stolen every Nationals fan back. And they have a television network where you can actually get the games in Pennsylvania. And like they just fix it. And maybe we fix the city too around it. It doesn't feel to me like John Angelos is going to be the visionary fixing Baltimore living in Nashville with his boots. And it feels, and I've been very loud about if you want to fix it, put some feet on the street. And put some skin in the game and fix it. Come and fix it. But to get an all-star game here in these conditions where we don't have a lease, there's no lease. And I'm talking about an all-star game, right? John's envisioning the all-star game in Nashville with Tim McGraw. So I just keep thinking about us and the game and the city and 30 years. And I've been wistful this week in my 25th anniversary looking through the pictures. Somebody asked me for my pictures from 21-31. Somebody asked me my pictures from the 93 All-Star game. Luke, I didn't have a camera that day. In the 93 All-Star game, I was everywhere and everything. I talked to Ken Griffey when he walked in. I hung out at his locker half, and he was one of the greatest guys ever. Tony Gwynn, Jeff Montgomery, and I talked about it a couple weeks ago because he knew Geddy Lee. So, like, I remember everything about the 93 All-Star game, but I don't have a lot of pictures. And I want that for our city. I want to get in the batting cage and hit off of Grayson Rodriguez as a 60-year-old, And I don't know how close we are, but I wonder the value of it. I think it would be a big deal here for sure and be all that, but would it be great? Because the 93 All-Star game was great here.
I mean, I think that's fair. And certainly when you talk about a lot of the off-field work that still needs to be done, beginning with the lease, which, and I saw our pal Chris Pika even mentioned that on Twitter, makes it difficult to believe that, what, 25, I guess, is, 2025 is still up for grabs. Probably going to be a few years after that, but it's going to come here, and it's going to be a matter of how great it can be. And I think it still can.
Well,
Uniforms
it's the biggest
aside
thing
and
we can
bells and
get here,
whistles
right?
aside,
We're
but
not getting a Super Bowl. I mean, we might get an AFC Championship game one day, and they're trying to move that. Like, literally, right? Like, literally.
yeah.
They've been. So I'm just saying, like, if we're in this game to give the Angelos family another $1 billion and turn the city over to them for maybe a chance for postseason baseball, but I'm thinking, like, that's why that Keith Urban night and of all the goofy things that we pissed away a chance to celebrate one more time having a championship. I just keep thinking like Springsteen's coming, Billy Joel's coming, Stevie, like we have these nights, but the All-Star game would be like name anything the city's going to get that's going to be bigger than that. And I start to think, is it big? Is it even big anymore? Or can it be big? Or is it just a little regional party for 2 days and that's what it is? Because it felt like so much more than that 30 years ago.
Yeah, and again, so much of that mystique has just kind of gone away over time because of interleague play and all of that. But I'll throw this out there. I mean, the NFL draft. Why?
Ooh.
I mean, the NFL draft's going to
Yeah.
come here at
Is
some
Steve
point. It's just going
Bisciotti
to be
fighting for that? Is Sashi Brown fighting? I mean, like, I don't get to ask them questions because of Chad Steele,
right,
right? So, like, there
right.
is no, I mean, with Dick for 15 years, I'd rub up with Dick and Dick would say, nah, not coming here. Just not where we're focused. We can't win. We wouldn't put a bit. They want to go to Chicago. They want to go to Denver. They want to go to these other places. We're just not going to win that. At some point, they're going to go to Green Bay, right? I mean, there's a whole bunch of places in line in front of us to get that event. The All-Star game, maybe there are, maybe there aren't. But it's our turn, but our ownership is so effed up. And then the ownership's going to say, well, the city's effed up. And it's hard to argue that point, right? So that would be a little bit of the rub when people, and everybody's asking me, Luke. I mean, literally, they're saying, when do we get it? And this is the conversation you and I are going to have about it. And the answer is, I don't know, but we have to have a lease first. And then when we get it, is it going to suck? Are people in Cincinnati going to be watching and saying the uniforms are, what are they doing wearing orange and black? It's awful. The broadcasts are awful. The starting pitcher's Latin, so we can't mic him up. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, I all of it is I just want it to be better and I want us to get it and I want baseball to be better. And that's part of my whole rub of how I got thrown out. I got thrown out. Because I wanted it to be, I got thrown out in 2006 saying, if you don't fix it, we might never get an All-Star game again. I mean,
Right,
that was the kind of thing I was saying in 2006 when I did Free the Birds.
yeah, and so much of what you just said. I mean, I think the event is great for the city that it's in at that point in time, but quick, real quick, where was the All-Star game 4 years ago?
Or last year, or the, right.
Yeah, I mean, and again, so much of that just comes back to it's not what it was 40 years ago in that way. And that's not to say it can't be good. It's not to say it still couldn't be a home run for the city for those 3 days or 4 days or 5 days, when you consider how it's stretched out. But, I think as we all get older, we realize certain things aren't what they were. But that doesn't mean that there isn't still value to it. Doesn't mean I wouldn't love to cover an All-Star game in Baltimore. Doesn't mean that I don't have optimism that that's going to happen. It is going to happen. It's just going to be a matter of when it's going to happen at this point in time. So,
but
but
by the
you're
way,
right. Until
I want to
there's a
Marty
lease, until.
Conway you for just 1 second here and just cut you off in the middle of this because you said we'll get it one day. We'll get it. The biggest thing that the Orioles would obtain in getting it would be selling tickets for the 2 or 3 years
Sure.
leading up to it. You know, get your orange carpet and you'll get an All-Star game ticket. You right? So like that is really at the crux of the business side of it, that this helps them sell skyboxes to businesses, to all of that, to shine that up, to say 2026, home of the Major League Baseball. You know, like they love doing that. And that's the real business value for the Orioles. Just so
Right.
you know,
And
that's where they make their money.
sure. So that's where it really just comes back to, yes, it's a nationally televised event. Yes, you have the Home Run Derby. Yes, you have the Futures game, which was on Saturday in Seattle. But it still comes down to the event itself. That's, you know, that's a boon for Seattle, or that's a boon for wherever it is any given year. But, you know, it really just comes back to put on a good event, get a bunch of people downtown, fill up the ballpark a couple different nights. You know, we didn't even mention it. My favorite Oriole moment of All-Star weekend was Adley Rutschman's flex, where, I mean, he gets bonus time and he just says, oh, I'll hit right-handed now. And he starts hitting bombs from the right side. That was great. So I guess for me, and look, I, you know, you and I have disagreed on certain elements of the broadcast and everything. Look, I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you. I don't know if I've agreed with you on something more than talking about the awful All-Star uniforms. But for me, it's like, okay, there's all these different bells and whistles, and I get it. Some of it's annoying, and a lot of it's not really geared towards you. The uniforms aren't geared towards us anymore. Miking up players isn't geared towards someone like you who, you know, just wants to watch the game and kind of the purity of it. But I still look for those little moments here and there, and there were some of those, and that was cool. I mean, it's still a wonderful story. We haven't talked about it nearly enough. Yennier Cano, this guy was not in the major leagues on April 7th, and he was pitching in the All-Star game. This is one of the guys we were complaining about the Jorge Lopez trade at the deadline last year. This is one of the guys they got in that deal. So, you know, you just look for those little moments here and there that are still there if you look closely enough. But I agree with you. Yeah. Do I wish the All-Star game was what it was 40 years ago? Absolutely. Is it going to be that way again? It's just not. I mean, it's just not. You know, the days of the AL and the NL, I mean, so much of this was the American League guys didn't like the National League guys. I mean, they really didn't like each other. They really wanted to beat one another. And so much of that is, and I'm not even saying that as a knock on today's player, because we talk about this in every sport. You know, the money, the nature of the business where guys are constantly changing teams, you're just not going to have that same kind of intensity as AL versus NL. So I don't know how you recreate that. And I certainly didn't like the home field advantage for the World Series being up for grabs. I'm glad that that's no longer a thing, because boy, you want to talk about mocking something. It's a last place team's closer having an impact on which team's going to have home field advantage in the World Series. But, you know, it kind of is what it is. And I think you go in understanding that, no, this isn't going to be what it was in 1993, but it's still, you know, for Seattle this week, still a great few days. Whenever Baltimore does get it again, it'll be a great few days. And yeah, I'm with you. There's work to be done until that happens. But some of the things we complain about, man, I don't think they're going away.
I'll tell
think
you
the
this.
Uniform...
I didn't mind that the game counted and that the American League would get game one. I didn't, to some degree,
I guess.
And at that point, stop. Then it doesn't become a clown fest. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like it being a clown fest. I like that's so last thing for you, because we'll wrap this, because we're going to, the Marlins are coming to town. This kid's coming. The Dodgers are coming. We got real. This is a World Series contender this year. Like, this is no joke. This is for real. They have real trading. They have all of that. You worried about Batista on the back end of what happened? You said he looked nervous.
He looked nervous. I'm not worried one iota. I mean, I said it on Twitter. I'd much rather that happen in the All-Star game than that happen in even a regular season game that counts. The split he threw did unfortunately reminded me a little bit of the split that he threw to Aaron Judge at Yankee Stadium earlier this year, but he's going to be fine. You know, he had a rough outing. It happens. Someone in the All-Star game is going to have to be the losing pitcher. Someone's going to have to strike out with the bases loaded. I mean, that's
if
just how
Adley
it works.
Hamaker
So.
and Fred Lane can live happily ever after, you know, then I think Felix Bautista can, you know, it's a
No
long
doubt.
flight home, 3,000 miles when you were the goat. So, and not the good goat,
Yeah,
the bad goat, the old school goat.
Right. And I'll say this much, because I even saw this on Twitter. Someone tweeted to me because I made mention of Bautista. I'd rather it happen there. And the individual said, well, I wish he hadn't gotten in the game rather than that happening. I say, look, anytime you're talking about a first time All-Star, get that guy in the game, because you never know if he's going to get back. And look, Felix Bautista might be five more All-Star games over the next 7 years. I mean, he's that special. This guy strikes out two batters an inning, 18 batters per nine innings he strikes out. It's crazy. But yeah, he had a rough night. No worry about that. But I think for me, and lost through all the bells and whistles and the annoyances and everything that you and I talked about over the last 25 minutes, there were several mentions pregame, MLB Network shows, and during the telecast of the Baltimore Orioles and where they stand right now and how far they've come over the last couple of years. And so much of it centered around Adley Rutschman. We know it's more than that, but that for me, as someone who has sat through very specifically the last 5 years, but you know, knowing where the franchise has been for 40 years now, really, that's what was so gratifying about the telecast, about these last few days, to see Adley Rutschman in the Home Run Derby, to see Austin Hayes in the starting lineup, to see your two late inning relievers pitch for the American League, and worked out great for Cano, not so much for Bautista. Oh, well, that's really what I'll take away from this. This was truly a sign of the Baltimore Orioles are absolutely relevant. They are a very good baseball team. They are a team at this point, and I wrote this in my latest 12 Orioles thoughts at BaltimorePositive.com. It's go time. The expectations are higher now. It will be an absolute disappointment if this team doesn't make the postseason. I mean, that's where they are. They're 19 games over 500 at the break. So it's go time. And to your point, the Marlins come into town. The Dodgers come into town. Two good clubs from the NL. There's a lot to be excited about. So as much as I hate the uniforms at the All-Star game and some of the other things, I could do without a little bit of that. Although, like I said, I like certain elements of it. Much more excited about getting back to the start of the second half and what is going to be a really, really fun 3 months of the Orioles, and hopefully a little longer than 3 months if things fall their way.
30 years ago this morning, Luke, this city woke up pissed off at Cito Gaston. I mean, I sold shirts. They let, you know, and who knows that Messina wasn't going to come in the game and, you know, give up five runs, you know, I mean, 30 years ago, I don't know. But I have such great stories about all of that because Mike and I were so close, and we went and had a beer after the game, you know, and like, so I knew the truth about Elrod saying, you got to get your work in, get out here and get your work in. So when the game's over, you don't have to go underneath and do it. So anyway, but think about that now. Yeah, I know you were a young man back then, but 30 years ago, Mike Messina didn't get into the game, but couldn't blow
the
game. He should
have pitched. He should have pitched. No question about it.
But
I
finally got to say that on the radio. I know it took you 30 years.
Pitched.
He should have pitched, yeah. Dwayne Ward, Tom Hankey, kiss my ass. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never forget. We never forget to remember. Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.